Our scripture text for our communion this morning is verses 14 through 16 of Matthew 5. Verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the preaching of his word. In the last many times for communion, we've been looking at the Beatitudes, the characteristics of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And then the last time we looked at the saying, ye are the salt of the earth. And now this morning, ye are the light of the world. All Christians should see clearly that we are what God has made us. And we need to see that we are what God has made us in order that we may act accordingly. Ye are the light, and so comes the command, let your light so shine. The Apostle Paul describes Christians as lights in the world in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. He says they're sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye do shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So we are something, therefore there is activity that flows out of it. Constantly, the Apostle Paul makes constant use of that comparison. We are the light over against the darkness that is around us. And he draws attention to that contrast in order to show us how the Christian functions in society because he or she is a Christian. We are the light of the world. And Jesus says here, a city set on a hilltop cannot be hid. And a man does not light a candle to put it underneath a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestand so that it may give light. Ye are the light of the world. So we have really in our text three arguments here. Three arguments of God's word. By definition, we are the light of the world. That's who we are. That's the whole function then of the light. The purpose of the light is to give light. Second of all, our position becomes not only contradictory, but it becomes utterly ridiculous if we do not act that way. If we are truly Christians, we cannot be hid. There is a danger at times. We're going to get to that in the sermon. A warning then to us. At times there's a danger that we are tempted that we act in a way completely like the world. That is, in a ridiculous and in a futile manner. And to do that renders ourselves really useless. Useless. Light gives light. And there's really no other function for light than that. The moment it ceases to act as a light, it is as nothing in the universe. So also are just formal Christians. That is, one who has the name, but not the quality of a Christian. The Apostle Paul elsewhere speaks of those who have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. To be truly a Christian means that we are lights in the world and that we let our light so shine. The true Christian cannot be hid. He cannot escape notice in this world except by denying the power of what God has made us. So, the light of the world, notice with me what it is, our calling to manifest that light, and then thirdly, the purpose of that light. Light. Light is revelation. Light is a manifestation of perfections. Light was the very first created word, wasn't it? Let there be light. And God creates that light in order to reveal himself to a creation. Light brings about, involves life, doesn't it? In 1 John 1, verse 7, we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. God is our light in our salvation, we sang from Psalm 27. And having that life of God, now we have fellowship with one another, and that's where 1 John 1 verse 7 comes. We have fellowship with one another. We love one another. And John goes on to say, and he who doesn't love his brother has not the light, but is in darkness. Light reveals. Reveals where we are, what has been done to us, and where we are to go. It involves prophecy, doesn't it? God speaks through the light. He speaks through his creation. He speaks through us. Ye are the light of the world. Now, having said all that about what light is, then we should find Jesus' statement here amazing. Amazing. Because the Bible teaches us, doesn't it, first of all, that God is light. God is a light. He's called the Father of lights. Or in 1 John 1 verse 5, that light, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is that beautiful life and revelation and fellowship in himself. God is light. And of Jesus Christ, we read that he is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in the very next chapter in John's Gospel, John chapter 9, Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that when he was healing the blind man. The blind man was walking in darkness, but God had mercy, Christ had mercy on him, and he spit on the ground, and with that clay he smeared it on his eyes, and the man was able to see. It was revelation. So God is the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But now this amazing statement, Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. How is that? Saints are lights. And the answer is, Jesus causes us to be those lights. For in John chapter 9, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus is here no longer, is he? But Jesus causes us to reflect his light now that he's in heaven. If I would make a comparison, boys and girls, it would be like the sun. It shines during the day. But at the end of the day, the sun goes away and it's dark. But then there comes the moon out, and the moon reflects the light of the sun, and we have light. So also, when Jesus was here on the world, he was the light of the world. But he's gone, isn't he? He's in heaven now. How does one see the light? And the answer is, the light is reflected. The light of Jesus is reflected in Christians here in this world. Ye are the light of the world. God has chosen and called us to that kind of position. We read in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What? That ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ye are the light of the world. God has made us that in Christ Jesus. We reflect the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ. And we do that through God's work of regeneration. We were once darkness, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but the Holy Spirit came and worked new life in us and called us out of darkness into the light. Called us. Powerfully called us. We're talking there about the work of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? For when in the old world, when there was lamps, the lamps would have oil and they would have a wick. That oil that was supplying that lamp was the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Ye are the light of the world. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our own hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful text that is. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, if you're putting that in your notes. Just as God, the first day of creation, said, let there be light, and he called light out of darkness. That's what he has done, beloved, in your and my hearts. He said, let there be light. By his Holy Spirit, he created new life so that we may have fellowship with God and so that we may speak of him and to him. How are we light of the world? And the answer is only in Jesus Christ. Only in fellowship with Jesus Christ, which the Lord's table is supposed to picture to us. He is the host. We are the guest and we partake of him himself. How important it is to remain very close to the source of light, isn't it? Boys and girls, imagine for a moment. Imagine that you're going to go into some dark, unexplored cave. And the guide has a flashlight. And he's going to lead the way. Will you remain close with that guide so that the light of the flashlight will illumine your way also? But the further you get away from that guide, the dimmer it is, and finally you can't see anything. You're lost. How can we be light of the world? And the answer is by remaining close in sweet communion with Jesus Christ. Then only can we shine as lights in the world. Jesus said in John 12, verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. He's now in heaven, isn't he? But by the Holy Spirit and by his word, Christ is with us always, even unto the end of the world. So that's what the world sees, doesn't it? It sees through us the reflected light of our great God, our covenant God who has chosen us, and our Savior who has redeemed us from our sins. It is the saints who are exclusively the light of the world. That means that there are not several different lights, some dimmer and some brighter. The Jews, the Muslims, the Buddhists, they are not lights in the world. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. Exclusively the saints in Christ Jesus. Ye are. Not just special Christians, here or there, one or two, but every child of God, every saint, whether young or old, whether Jew or Gentile, whether educated or not so educated, whatever position we have, every saint, every child of God is the light of the world. Jesus Christ, the source. And as the light of the world, that light in us, reflected by us, is to be seen in every area of the life of our life, isn't it? How will they know we are Christians? Hopefully not just because they see us driving to church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We're not just Sunday Christians. But they are to see us as Christians in our homes, in our Christian marriages. They are to see us as Christians in our relationships with them, whether it be at work. They are to see us as Christians in the way we do, boys and girls, our schoolwork, and we behave on the playground. They must see that we are Christians by also our antithesis, that is, having nothing to do with the works of darkness, but remaining separate from it. Yes, ye are the light of the world, always and continuously, as we remain close in contact, communion with Jesus Christ. And that's what we desire, isn't it? That's why we come to the Lord's table, acknowledging we need to be fed with Christ. We need to be nurtured by Christ. Christ needs to shine in and through us. We reflect Him. So there is the bold statement. This is what God has made us. Ye are the light of the world. All by grace. We don't deserve that. But now in our text, verse 16, let your light so shine before men with a purpose. Well, we'll get to the purpose later. Let your lights so shine. Negatively, it's over against verse 14 and 15. Those illustrations of a city on a hill or a candlestick underneath a bushel are given as a warning to us, aren't they? That city on a hill, that lamp in a candlestick, cannot be hid. That reminds us of the danger of being in the world, doesn't it? One might ask, isn't it just natural for a light to shine forth? A city on a hill? A candle on a candlestick? And yes, that's a normal thing. That's to be expected. But the warning is essential for us, because you and I are not cities, because you and I are not candles. You and I are redeemed sinners. And as redeemed sinners, we face the temptation to hide the light. A city cannot hide its light. A candle on a candlestick cannot hide its light. But you and I, beloved, you and I can be tempted to hide our light. We can be tempted to hide our light because of our sinful flesh. Our sinful flesh wants to join the world and do the things of the world. We can be tempted to hide the light because we're afraid of the reaction of the world against us. Because the world will take notice. And as John chapter 1 puts it so clearly, light entered into the world and the darkness was exposed for what it was. And the darkness hated the light. And just as the world hated Christ, the world will hate you and I when we walk closely with Christ and we let our lights shine. We don't go along with them. We're different. We expose their sins. And oh, how they hate it. And oh, how we are tempted then to avoid that reproach, avoid that ridicule, avoid that persecution by hiding the light under a bushel. God's word says, ye are the light of the world, so let your light shine. Positively, that light has to shine so that all can see it. All can see it. Notice it's not that we become a light. We are the light of the world. God has made us that light. And that light has to shine clearly all around us. How is it seen? How is the light of God, how is the light of Jesus Christ reflected in your or my life that all can see it? In our life, hopefully, in our life, when we live antithetically, that light is shown. When we live in obedience to God's commandment, it's a statement. When we live with the joy that belongs to a child of God, when that joy radiates from us, they're going to come and they're going to ask you, how come? What's the reason for this hope within you? And then God will give us the words. And we'll say, it's not myself, but it's Jesus. This is what Jesus has done for me and is doing for me. That light shines in our lives. That light will shine, be reflected in our fellowship. The beauty of Christian marriages, when husbands and wives live together and enjoy one another, fellowship with one another, help one another. What a testimony a godly marriage is in this dark world when many people do not stay together very long. What a light it is in the church. How is it that all of us sinners can somehow get along with each other and not fight and bicker and everything else? And the answer is because of that Christian fellowship. Christ being the light to us, our fellowship with the triune God, therefore our fellowship together. That's something that others yearn for, desire, fellowship in this world where many are strangers to one another. And that light is thirdly seen in us when the church takes its proper role of prophecy. Thy word is a light upon my path, a light to my feet. Yes, the church speaks, doesn't she? And God's people, when they hear the preaching of the word, they go home and they share what they have heard. They speak to their children, to their grandchildren. They speak to their neighbors. They speak to those that they love of what they have heard. As we know of the early Christians, when they were dispersed from Jerusalem, they went forth preaching Christ Jesus, didn't they? We do it as Christ shines in us, in our hearts. And so we shine before men. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. How can you and I do that? Let me go back again to Psalm 119, of which we sang, Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light upon my path. We are that light, and we let our light shine as we walk in obedience to God's word. Not our own ideas, not what our flesh wants. No, we say no to our flesh. We say no to the world. We say no to Satan. And we live antithetical lives. Ephesians 5, verse 8, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. The Apostle Paul there in Ephesians 5 then warns about how many things are done in darkness, right? And that's why he comes to the saints and he says, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. We let our light shine only insofar as we walk with Christ, when we walk in the light of His Word, when we let that Word be that determining figure for how we think and how we work and how we play. Walk as children of the light. Life, fellowship, revelation. Boys and girls, you're going to remember those three? Light serves for life, for fellowship, and for revelation. Let your light so shine. And what is the purpose for this? We read, Let your light so shine before men that, in order that, here's the purpose. They may see your good works. Let your light shine before people so that people will see your good works. They will see your good works in what you do and how you live your life. They will see that light in antithesis to the darkness. When do you see the stars? You see them at night, don't you? The darker the night is, if you get away from all the city lights or the lights that are in the parking lot here, if you get away from that light, then you see the stars so clearly. For example, in North Dakota, there's nothing out there. You see these bright lights. So you and I, in the darkness of this world, and it's only getting darker, we stand out. We shine as these bright stars. God uses that bright light. God uses that bright light to bring others, His elect ones, to the light. How wonderful, the Catechism says. Why do good works? So that we may be used by God to bring others to Christ Jesus. God uses our light in this world to bring others to Christ. God also uses our light in this world to expose, to testify against the wicked. And in that way, God is glorified. You say, why is God glorified? Because it's His work, isn't it? Because it's He who made us the light of the world. Because it is He who guides us and leads us and enables us now to be that light, to so shine. Our Father in heaven is glorified. None of us are lifted up in pride and say, oh, what a light I am. Rather, we say, thank you, Father. We thank thee for thy electing love. We thank thee for the redeeming grace of Christ Jesus. We thank thee for our calling to be those who reflect Jesus Christ. You see, our lives here in the world are like Jesus' life was in the world, yes, in a much less way, imperfect way, but it is as Jesus Christ is still in the world here. How? In his body, in his church, in the saints. God. God alone receives the glory. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes, God is glorified, isn't he? God is glorified when God's elect are brought into repentance through our lives. God is glorified even by the wicked, because the wicked will be compelled to also say, this is God's work. What a great work. Ye are the light of the world. Christ Jesus, make saints. And in communion with Christ, walking closely with Christ, we reflect his light. That we may be strengthened in that calling. Let's turn to the form for the Lord's Supper, and we will go to the table of our Lord. Page 91 in the back of your Psalters. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend unto the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of our Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves, and then secondly to direct it to that end for which Christ has ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. You'll turn the page then. We read that first part of the form last Sunday under our preparatory service. And so the second column, page 92, the first open paragraph. Let us now consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he might fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath taken also upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself to the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we should be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and the shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup and gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat and drink this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished of and obliged and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and our trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we're all partakers of that one bread. For out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. that we may obtain all this. Let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace in prayer. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we may daily, more and more with true confidence, give ourselves up to Thy Son, Jesus Christ. That our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread. And that we may no longer live in our sins, but Christ in us, and we in Christ, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper and the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and our hearts, saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As the elders prepare the table, let's turn in our psalters to number 203, and we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus. Let us not cleave with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of the Christian faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Spirit with Christ's body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. The bread that we break is the body of Jesus Christ. Read in Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all our sins. The cup of blessing that we bless is a communion of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Take, drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out unto a complete remission of all of our sins. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. O Almighty and merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of the Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalters to number 321. Again, take from Psalm 119. Yea, they are kept from paths of sin who walk in God's appointed way. We'll sing all four stanzas while the deacons receive your offering for the poor.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.